Well, good morning again. Thankful for the opportunity to share God's word, and thankful that Pastor awarded me the same time he gets for three services today.
I don't remember that.
So, hope you brought your lunch. So, we're going to get going. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read verses 9 through 18, and we're going to go back and dig through it. So Revelation chapter 1, we'll start in at verse 9. Scripture says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha, Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philippi, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Let's look to the Lord as we get ready to sort through this. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here today. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you for our Savior Jesus, Lord, as we're here to celebrate his coming, which was necessary for him to be here to fulfill all the prophecies required and then to eventually go to the cross and purchase our redemption. We thank you for that, Lord. So speak through your servants, speak to your servants today, and may you be glorified by everything that's done here in Christ's precious name. Amen. Back in Revelation there, in verse 9, he says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion. Many times these Bible figures, and early on in my Christian life, I kind of had these guys, they were kind of like superhuman. They just, like on a different level, or just different people than we were. But this isn't some elite 12 that's not just common men. These weren't people that were above and beyond the normal. God makes us above and beyond what's normal. But we're just ordinary people. They were ordinary men. And he reminds us that I am your companion and your brother. And he says, in tribulation. And we know there's tribulation. We can look back through this calendar year, and I'm sure every day wasn't a day we would pick to live through. Every moment would be a moment we would pick to live through. There'd be some we'd say, boy, I'd like that not to have come my way. I'd like to have seen that pass this month or this year. Could have been some real hardships. And John is our brother in these things. I want to look at something as well. Hold your place here. But in Romans chapter 8, if you would turn there. In Romans chapter 8, as we go a little further with this brother and companion, this fellowshipping together, Christ has done so much for us. In Romans 8, verse 14 says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we serve the same God, the one true and living God. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And this is all positive stuff. In a world full of negativity and in a world that tries to beat you down, when we start looking at Scripture, identifying who we are in God's eyes, we don't have much of a reason to whine, a reason to complain. I, fully deserving of hell, don't whine because I am getting something I don't deserve, and that's called eternal life with Jesus Christ, my Lord. Something that I didn't even know existed till I sat under good sound preaching. And so I don't spend much time whining about the way things go. I've already got it better than I ever deserved. And it's even better because the one that redeemed me is in his kingdom preparing a place for me, and he's going to come back and get me to take me to be with him forever. That's quite a Christmas story in itself. Well, we're the children of God. And it says that if children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. And if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him. And John is one of those brothers and companions that, listen, we're not stuck in bondage. We've been filled with the Spirit. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're children of God. And that's what John is here. And he's letting us know that he is in tribulation. He's going through some things, but he's not suffering because of an evildoer. John is not on the Isle of Patmos because he was being there of any criminal charge. He was there, and he knows why he was there. It was for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. So he was there, and he was bearing witness. We bear witness. We bear witness that he is Emmanuel, God with us. We bear witness like John did that his name is Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. He came to save his people from his sin. We bear witness that he is God himself, that Jesus Christ is the I Am, that he is who he says he is. And some things come along with that. And it might be some heartache. It might not heartache, but I mean some tribulation, some turmoil, some stress from this world. And John is on the Isle of Patmos, but he's not out of his mind. I've heard some people try to say for this book to be written or John to be exiled that he was delusional. Because this book is a tough one to understand. There's all kinds of things the world tries to explain off. But John is not delusional. John is not out of his mind. If you look in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, he knows who he is. He says, I, John. He still knows his name. He's been deserted to an island for his testimony in Jesus Christ, but he still knows who he is. And he says, he says, I'm your brother in this tribulation. He says, I'm on the Isle of Patmos. He knows where he is. He's not delusional at all. And he says he's in the Spirit and he's on the Lord's day. He knows what day it is. So John knows who he is. He knows where he is. He knows why he's there. And he's writing something for us that God tells him to write. And I want you to think about who you are. Not who you are with your talents, because that'll change. Who you are in regards to your age, because that'll change. Appearance, physical abilities, all this stuff is up for change and will change. Who you are in Jesus Christ. When you get a grip of who you are in Christ and what you are because of Christ, this world's not going to get you down. This depression and stuff that people go through, this stuff can go away because your identity is not based on how am I doing today. It's how is he doing today and what is he doing for me. My Bible says he's making intercession for me. I know Jesus is praying for me. I don't have a whole lot to be upset about, really, trusting him. So John knows who he is. He knows where he is. He knows why he's there. He knows all this stuff. And Jesus says unto him in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega. This is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. He says in English, I'm A and Z. What comes before A? Nothing. What comes after Z? Nothing. He says, I'm the first and the last. Listen, it's me. I'm the one that was here before time. I created time to have you. And I'm going to get rid of time, and it's going to be eternity in the future again. John, it's me. The first and the last. Think of who holds you in his hands. The one that has no one that precedes him. The one that has no one coming after him. I'm here for one Sunday, not here at this church. I mean, just in the pulpit. I come and go. I'm going to die someday. Did you know the Word of God was preached before I was born? The Word of God will be preached after I'm gone. I'm here, but the one I serve is A to Z, first and the last. And so he's just assuring John of who he is. And so he says, this is who I am. And in verse 12, he says, John turns to see who was speaking to him, and he sees these seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of these candlesticks, in verse 13, there's one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment. It says it goes to his feet. This speaks of his royalty and his priesthood. He knows who he's looking at. This is one like unto the Son of Man. This is one like I've seen before. I've seen him. He didn't look like this, but I've seen him. John saw him teach. He heard him preach. John saw him raise the dead. John saw him heal sick, all manner of diseases. John saw things we'll never see. John saw him walking on the water. John got to hear him utter a few small words, say, "Peace be still," and see, and watched as the sea and the wind calmed. John also saw him suffer in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering serious agony on the cross at Calvary. He died, he was buried, but John got to see him risen. John was also at the Mount of Olives when Christ ascended. And these two men that stood there in white apparel said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you will come again in like manner as you've seen him go." That in itself is amazing, that Jesus is not going to send a representative to come take his children home. He came to this earth as a baby, which we celebrate now. He went to the cross to purchase our redemption. He sealed us with the Spirit, and he personally is going to come back to receive us to himself. And John now is seeing him here as he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he sees him quite differently than what he saw before. And so this is that same Christ, but this is a different description. This is a little bit different than what we're going to think of in the manger scene. When we think of a harmless baby, now we're looking at Christ glorified. The scripture says here in verse 14 that the head of his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His hair was white as wool. He is being described here as what Daniel describes as the Ancient of Days, because Jesus is the Ancient of Days. He is God. And Jesus now is glorified. He's holy. And this hair that is white as snow is not because of what the white hair I see out here today and what's showing up right in here and that. Ours is age-related. Our gray hair or white hair means we're wearing down. We're coming to the end of our time. We're getting weaker, and we will have to pass the torch along or pass responsibilities along. He's not got hair of white because he's Ancient of Days. He has hair of white because he is absolutely pure, because he is completely holy. He is the totality of holiness and purity and righteousness. And he is as white as snow. And John is seeing him now glorified. A little probably greater than what they saw at the Mount of Transfiguration. Probably as much as John could handle and still live as a human. Imagine the glory that will be revealed in God's kingdom. It says that he shone like the sun in its strength. And the Bible says there's no shadows in heaven. There's no need for the sun or the moon because he is the light of it. It's pretty intense light. That's a whiteness. That's a brightness that we've never experienced yet. And so his white hair is because he's holy. It's because he's pure. It's because of his glory. And so we see here Christ being displayed to us in a powerful way. It said his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. It goes on to say his feet were like unto fine brass as burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. This is his strength. His power. From a babe in a manger. He was God then. He was God when he was in that manger. He was God before he was in the manger. But he was God in that manger, though very few people knew it. Some shepherds were told about it. Very few people knew. There's God right here in flesh. He was God when he went to the cross. More people knew it, but he was so hated and so rejected that they beat him beyond recognition and put him to that cross, thinking they were ending something. Satan was a fool. That's Satan's own demise to kill Jesus. How else could he be risen from the dead if he was not killed? You think he's not the first and the last? He's not ahead of this game and knows what's going on? So he was crucified. He was God then. When he raised, he was God. He's God here. He said, "I'm the one who was and is to come, the Almighty." So he is the eternal God. He is Jehovah, the self-existent God. And so John gets to see him here, and he's passing this message along. And he says, "I want you to send this to the churches." He's sending it to us. who this Jesus is in his glory and in his power. And John is seeing him here. Pastor preached, and it's been a couple of the sermons on Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. We have to think of who's able to do something like that. Who is able to give you peace? It has to be someone that possesses all of peace to be able to give it to you. We'll have moments of relief and things in this world from things people say and do, but we can have peace. John was at peace being cast off onto an island by himself. Peter and John, if you remember, came back after being beaten and rejoicing that they were beaten. They had peace because of who Christ is. He can give us peace in the midst of this crooked and perverse world. Who could give you joy? I'm not saying happiness. We can get happiness from a lot of things. Who can give you joy? It has to be someone that is the source and the fountain of joy. And Jesus says, I want my joy to be in you, and he wants our joy to be full. Well, if Jesus wants his joy to be in us, where are we going to get it from? This world? It's so sad that we see all this stuff in scriptures that we know is there that come from Christ, yet we look horizontally trying to fulfill all these things that only someone vertical, someone up in heaven could fulfill. He can give us joy. Who can give us eternal life? Someone that possesses it. Someone that says, you know, I'm first and last. I'm A to Z. I'm Ancient of Days. I have no beginning. I have no end. And his name is Jehovah. And it does mean self-existent. How can someone give you? I couldn't give anything to you that you really need that's of any eternal benefit other than the Word of God. But I have nothing to get you through. Christ does, and he can give us eternal life because he is that source of life. Well, who was able to wash us and make us white as snow? It's going to have to be someone that already is. Someone that is pure, someone that is holy, someone that is righteous. It's amazing how God can cleanse sinner after sinner without diminishing who he is. If I gave stuff to you, it would be taking away from me. I would have less as I give. Christ can give and can cleanse, can heal and forgive. He doesn't ever lessen who he is. It doesn't diminish who he is. You know, though men deny him, it doesn't diminish who he is. And that's an attribute I want you and I to have. Pastor Steve read from Philippians. I was going to read that too. Philippians chapter 2. About letting this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Don't let this world diminish who you are in Jesus Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Know that you've been set free. You haven't been brought into bondage again to fear. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. You've been washed white as snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. Been set free. Not to be put in bondage. Don't fall to that. The Bible says there in verse 17, as John sees all of this stuff, he sees Christ in his brightness. He says his countenance shines like the sun in its strength. And he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I imagine we'd probably do the same. Seeing Christ revealed in this kind of glory. Like Isaiah, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. It's amazing when we think we're pretty good because we spend our time comparing ourselves to each other. But as soon as we get a glimpse of his majesty and his holiness, all of a sudden, wow, I am not who I thought I was. Come down off of who you think you are into yourself and find out who you are in Christ. Focus on this true template of what we're to pattern ourselves after. Not after another person, but after Jesus Christ. But John sees him. He says, I fell at his feet as dead. And Jesus does something to John that you and I need to give time and let him do to us. The Bible says that Jesus laid his right hand upon him. Jesus laid his hand on John. What's he say to him? Fear not. Fear not. Remember, at the beginning of this, John knew who he was. John knew where he was. John knew why he was there. He knew what day it was. But you know what's even greater than that? Jesus knows his name. Jesus knows where John was. Well, he was cast off into a nine. You think Jesus had to go looking for him? Jesus knew where he was. Jesus knows what he needed. He reveals himself to John. And John falls at his feet and he says, John, don't be afraid. I know who you are. I know where you are. I know what you're going through, and it's because of me. You're here because of your testimony of me. You think because we get hassled and maybe lose a job or whatever happens because we stand for the name of Christ that God doesn't see it? Look at the example we have of Stephen being stoned and God opening heaven, allowing Stephen to see Christ standing at the right hand of God because his servant was being treated even worse than what John was being treated for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus knows where you are. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows the struggles you had this year. He knows if you had a bad morning today. He knows if Christmas is a rough time for you because maybe you've lost loved ones, been through some serious financial setbacks, physical setbacks. Praise God, Jesus can lay his hand upon you and say, don't fear. If you remember, I'm the first and I'm the last. No one comes ahead of me. No one's after me. No one is superior to me in power and authority. Remember when Jesus says, don't fear what man can do. Only fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul and cast into hell. Don't fear man. Don't fear man. Only fear God. And it's a different fear when he's saying, don't be afraid here. Have this reverential, and Pastor covered that just not too long ago, this fear of the Lord, this reverence and awe of him. Well, he says, he puts his hand on him. He says, fear not, for I am the first and the last. Remember, John, no one's before me, no one's after. No one can change my decisions. When I make a ruling, it's a ruling. It's done. And he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Children of God, you don't have to worry that someone's going to sneak in to Christ's realm and take you from him when Christ is the one that holds the keys to death and hell. He has the final answer to everything, the final say in everything. Trust him. Cleanse him. I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ? I'm not going to ask you if you've been to church, how long you've been to church, if you served in any type of capacity. All that is nice, but none of that means anything in light of eternity. There have been people that have done physical service for God their whole life and don't even know him. They have a clinical knowledge, some registered information in their head. They've got a few scriptures memorized that they were told to memorize. They might even repeated a prayer they were told to just say this and you'll go to heaven. It isn't say something, you'll go to heaven. It's repent and believe. Have you repented? See, if you're not white as snow, you don't get in. You don't get in. I don't get in. In Revelation chapter 7, we'll turn there quickly. We'll look at a few verses as we wind this thing down. In Revelation chapter 7, we'll start in there, verse 9. It says, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne upon their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, with honor, and power, and might, be unto our God. forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Forget everything you think you've accomplished in life. If we have not repented and put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, you're not heaven bound. Christ has the keys of hell and death. He has them. But if you don't put your faith in him, that's where you'll be. Only people that are born again go to heaven. I think it was I can't remember if it was Moody or Spurgeon, preached continuously, you must be born again. And he was asked, why do you, every sermon, do you say you must be born again? He said, that's easy, because you must be born again. It's that easy. Are you born again? Are you cleansed white as snow? Not your own righteousness. Remember, those are filthy rags. Anything we take to God, say, God, look how good I am. I am just, you need me. He says, get your filthy rags out of here. Let me wash you. Let me cleanse you. He will make us clean. Let him lay his hand upon you. Let him touch your life. I'd like you to bow your head. Close your eyes. Just spend a couple minutes. Just run through your heart and your mind. It doesn't hurt to check it again. Paul even tells us that. Check it. Have you repented of your sin? Don't be reminding God of all you've done for him. Just ask yourself, did I repent and put my faith in Jesus somewhere in my lifetime? You only got to do it once. And I asked Jesus to save me. That's all it takes. That's the greatest Christmas gift, was Jesus Christ setting us free. Do you know him? You don't have to recite anything. You just got to say, just ask God to forgive you. You're sorry for your sin, and you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not your faith in Jesus and in the church and in the preacher and in something else. No, your faith is in Jesus. End. Remember, he's A to Z, Alpha and Omega. He is our only Redeemer. He wants you to be white as snow. He wants you in his kingdom for all of eternity. He wants you. That's why he came. That's why he died. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, if there be any here that have been very religious in nature, but have not and can't come up with the time where they ever repented of their sin and put their faith in Jesus, may this be that day, at any age, at any level, that they say, I am asking Christ to forgive me and asking you to make them white as snow. Jesus, we thank you that we're joint heirs with you because of what you've done. We thank you that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We thank you that you are the first and the last, the beginning and the end, that you are Alpha and Omega. We thank you that you are the great I am. We thank you that you said over and over through the book of Isaiah that you are God and besides you there's none else. You are the one. You're the one and only, the one true God. Father, to anyone here today repented and put their faith in Jesus, may they talk to one of the staff members here or myself and just say, hey, I just want to share, I gave my life to Jesus today. I am clean. And Father, those in here that may be struggling with some things, May they reflect on who you are and who they are in you. Confirm in their hearts that you know their name, where they are, what they're going through, and even why they're going through it, and that you are their help and their source to get through this. So, Lord, thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. We thank you that of the increase of your government there shall be no end. We do not have to look for another. You're it. We thank you, Lord. Lord, send us home today to enjoy family, to enjoy fellowship about what Christmas really is, besides all the toys and the good, but the true meaning of it. Let our families rejoice because we know the King of Kings. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.